Jim Packard in for Larry Mueller today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us. You know, for the past 25 years, we have witnessed a rise in the number of local breweries in Wisconsin, places that love beer for beer's sake. Many of Wisconsin beers are personal, and unless you take your glass outside the screen door behind the tap, you won't find some of these beers beyond a good dart toss from the tap handle. Many of us at the Badger State are fortunate enough to have someone looking out for us with a handcrafted lager or ale. Kevin Revelinski has tapped into the collective wisdom of beer drinkers everywhere and has laid out a pilsgrimage to the breweries of Wisconsin. You'll find maps, directions, history, useful information, special offers for beer guide owners, and things to do within stumbling distance from the brewery. Did you know there's a Viking Brewing Company in Dallas, Wisconsin that makes 22 kinds of beer? I found that in the Wisconsin Beer Guide, a travel companion. It's written by Kevin Revelinski of Madison. And hi, Kevin. Nice to see you.
Hi, how are you doing?
What persuaded you to take up beer as a hobby and a pursuit?
I live in Wisconsin.
But you didn't drink beer before
no,
that.
No, I really didn't. I'm actually a travel writer by trade, and I was working with a publisher who thought that, you know, the state really needed a travel guide for beer. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good idea. I researched it and thought that, you know, I could come up with my own way of getting people to the beer without it being kind of a beer snob sort of approach. Just make a fun guide to get out there and find where the good stuff is.
Mm-hmm. And what persuaded you to include the breweries and the brew pubs that you do have in the book?
My stipulation was you have to be making your own beer in some fashion. So that means everybody from Miller all the way down to the UW-Platteville is, you know, in the book. So anyone who's got a brew house on site, they're in.
They're in.
Yep.
And if you have questions about your local brew house, you can give us a call in Madison at 263-1890, otherwise toll-free at 800-642-1234, and our email address is talk@wpr.org. I found this Viking Brewing Company in Dallas, Wisconsin, making 22 kinds of beer, and I didn't know there was a Dallas, and I've never heard of the Viking Brewing Company.
Most people don't know there's a Dallas, Wisconsin. In fact, I confuse them when I start talking about beer in Dallas, and they say, I thought this was a Wisconsin guide. He's an interesting character, too. I mean, he's got his own Viking hat, and a brew tour over there is actually just sitting down and talking about beer. His facility's sort of in the basement of an old manufacturing type, or I think it was a car dealership, actually. And it's very casual, and he just pulls out beers and starts sampling them and talks about it.
And where is the where is Dallas and where is the Viking?
Dallas is just north of Eau Claire, and the Viking is...
On like 53 or so? Or?
It's west of 53.
Okay.
Maybe about 15 minutes. Not far from Chautauqua.
Okay.
So it's a small town, one of those things that you blink and you miss it. And his official tasting room really is across the street at the local tavern.
Oh, so you can get it actually on tap right there.
You can, yeah. And you can also pick up bottles when you're there for the visit, and that's usually what he gives out for samples and
Is his about the most unusual of the local or smaller brewery in Wisconsin?
The most unusual. That's, I think, a tough competition, but it's certainly one of them. It's interesting, I guess, because you usually don't find brewmasters with Viking horns on their heads. But he also has some unusual flavors of beers, like a hot chocolate stout. So, you know, kind of like Guinness with a little bit of cayenne pepper in it. Not something you find at just any place.
Mm-hmm. You've got Lake Louie Brewing from Arena.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about Tom Porter's establishment.
Well, Tom Porter is he's an interesting guy. He used to be an engineer. And many of these brewers used to be engineers. And they quit their jobs and took on brewing. So there must be a lot of dissatisfaction.
There's a lot of chemistry involved in it.
True. But I also think there's a lot of dissatisfaction with the engineering business, and maybe it drives them to drink. I don't know. But Tom opened up a brew house in a shed on his property. If you go out there for a brew tour, the only thing marking it really is the mailbox that says Porter on it, which is kind of a nice little connection to beer there.
Anyway, yeah.
But yeah, he does a great job, and I think is just an example of how popular the small beers have become. When you make something really good, people go crazy for it. And I mean, he once told me that his wannabe client list is three times as long as his client list. He can't make enough beer. He's recently expanded, and so you know, hopefully that list is a bit longer because we're fighting for his beer. So
that's Lake Louis, founded in the year 2000. You will report on each of these what their annual production is, the number of beers that they usually rotate, and their staple beers, in this case, Coon Rock Cream Ale, named after the local Coon Rock Cave, where legend has it there be treasure. Have you tried to find the treasure?
I haven't. Uh-huh. I got stuck at the beer, and I just didn't get out.
The Arena Premium Pale Ale, Tommy's Porter, Warp Speed Scotch Ale, all very interesting names.
And he's got a new one now that's been out since, you know, the book came out, and it's Kiss the Lips. It's supposed to be just outrageous. He, you know, it was supposed to be a limited edition, and now it's just, I guess, one of his regular beers, so...
We're talking with Kevin Revelinsky, the author of The Wisconsin Beer Guide, a travel companion. It's published by Tynan's Independent Media. And if you go to wisconsinbeerguide.com, you'll find out much more about it.
Yeah, or my own website as well, themadtravelleronline.com.
Themadtravelleronline.com. Because you are a travel writer, you have that?
Yeah, that's right. And it used to be, it seemed, like just over a year ago, I spent a lot of my time just traveling all over the world. But lately, Wisconsin's been just pulling me in.
You write about going to Czechoslovakia and traveling and writing there. Did you find interesting beers as well?
Well, at that time, I really wasn't
into beers.
That's
right, you weren't a beer drinker.
It was this process that really made me a convert. I guess it was realizing that there are so many different styles of beers out there and that I was just overlooking the majority of them and assuming that they all tasted like, I don't know, Kingsbury, which we drank in college for $3 a case, mm-hmm. plus the deposit, which came back and it seemed like they were actually just paying you to empty the bottles.
Do they still brew Kingsbury beer?
You know, I'm not sure. I have to look into that.
Because there are so many names that keep coming back. Blatz, Pabst is making a resurgence as far as a name recognition goes.
Right.
Heilmann, a few of the others.
A lot of the brewers that went under, the labels were picked up by local breweries. Like, for example, Huber down in Monroe was doing Rhinelander since 1970 or something like that. And I didn't even know that. I used to be a beer can collector, not a drinker, but a can collector back in the day, so I knew my labels. But all of them still survive because some bigger company has picked up the label and keeps producing it because they know that the people who drink Old Style are going to still drink Old Style until the cows come home. So there's a market there, and they honor that, I guess, by keeping those old labels alive. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if Kingsbury's out there.
You do talk about what has happened to the former Huber Brewing Company, and the Minhas brother and sister of Canada have purchased the brewery, and what's happened there?
Well, you know, they're keeping it local, but, you know, I was sad just to see the name Huber disappear because it's kind of a legend, but, you know, they're remaining faithful to, you know, quality beer, I think, and locally produced beer, and they came in and bought the brewery just as the book was coming out. So that was a last-minute, quick, give a call and get that information down in there. So I noticed they were in the paper last week. So
for
just
a promotional piece about the expansion and how well they're doing?
Yeah, about breweries actually in down around Monroe, like, you know, New Glarus, which is also expanding.
Yeah, let's talk about the New Glarus Brewery, because that would be a nice road trip to take, go from New Glarus to Monroe and back.
Nice and close. You know, their current brewing facility is where the tour is, but by, I think it's mid-next summer, they're going to have the new expansion open. It's designed to look more like a farm, you know, like almost like a farm brewery. So it's got a lot of class to it, I think. And he's had so much success with Spotted Cow that that's what inspired the expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're starting to see
so
Spotted
Cow. Talk about Spotted Cow as a beer. You drink it. What do you taste? What do you feel?
You know, it's okay for me. It's a little...
Because some people describe it as the psychedelic of beer.
The psychedelic of beer? I haven't heard that one. Because of the spotted cow part?
I suppose. I don't know. Something to do with it. Yeah.
If you drink enough of anything, really, it becomes psychedelic.
If you'd like to join this conversation to talk about the Wisconsin Beer Guide, a place that you like that makes beer on premises, like the Pearl Street Brewery in La Crosse or the Fox River Brewing Company at Appleton, then give us a call and we'll talk about beer for the next 35 minutes or so. The number in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 1-800-642-1234. And, of course, the email address is talk@wpr.org as we talk with Kevin Revolinsky of Madison about the Wisconsin Beer Guide, a travel companion. Talk about the trip of going out to do the research. You must have traveled all over the state to do this.
Yeah, it was a lot of driving, and unfortunately, whenever I have to do a driving project, that's when the price of gas goes up over $3, which is annoying. But it took me a whole summer to do this, and I tried to break it down in a way that was, you know, logical, so I wasn't driving all over and back and forth. And in so doing that, I think it led to the design of the book, where I've, you know, split up the state into six zones, and based on where the breweries are, in the center of each zone, that brew pub is no more than an hour from any of the surrounding brew pubs or microbreweries. So that made my work a little easier, and it makes, you know, the reader's work of doing a pilgrimage a little bit easier as well.
James is our first caller from Chico, California. Hello, James. Are you traveling or are you listening on the internet?
I'm traveling.
All right. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I'm from Madison originally, just back here visiting again. I live out in Chico, California. I just did a little survey across the country of what beers are costing. And I'm just kind of curious as why a six-pack of Gartenbrau beer is $7.59 at the local grocery store, and a six-pack of Sierra Nevada Brewery beer is less than that in a 12-pack, and it's shipped all the way across the country refrigerated. Out in California, even a six-pack of beer is not that much. I'm wondering why, when this used to be 20 years ago, land of kind of moderately priced beer, it's hit the ceiling. It seems like a pretty high profit range to... I mean, Capital Brewery didn't make a profit for 20 years. They didn't get their bottling plant for a while. I'm not sure that the customers should be paying that much for a business decision that maybe wasn't made so well.
You get 30 seconds to come up with a coherent answer
to that
question.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what that is. I think some of them are producing such large quantities of beer that they can charge less, you know, and they've got a bigger market. The smaller ones, I think, have to make more to get by. I don't drink Gartenbrau, so I can't really comment on Gartenbrau, but it just seems, yeah, I don't know. They're able to charge that because people pay that.
But, and there may have to do with liquor taxes as well.
Oh, sure.
We don't know what they are, but I assume they're higher in Wisconsin than they are in California. But if anybody else has an answer, I'm sure we'll encourage them to call in the next half hour and see if we can get that for you. Thanks very much for the call. Our guest is Kevin Revolinsky of Madison, the author of the Wisconsin Beer Guide, a travel companion. It's published by Tynan's Independent Media. You can find out more about that. What is the website again?
TheMadTravelerOnline.com.
All right. And we'll continue with your calls. So Brandon, Phil, and Brian, stay with us, and we'll get to you right after the news here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good afternoon. I'm Jim Packard, sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy to have you along with us today as we talk with Kevin Revolinsky about his book, The Wisconsin Beer Guide. Kevin, it's a pleasure to have you here in the studio to talk about beer.
Thanks.
Thanks for being here today. And if you'd like to join the conversation as we've been talking about various breweries in the state, then give us a call in Madison at 263-1890 or toll-free at 800-642-1234. You can find out more about the Wisconsin Beer Guide, a travel companion, if you go to Kevin's website. One of them is themadtravelleronline.com. You find out more about what he's doing and the book itself. And we'll take some calls because the lines are full. And so let's go to Brandon in La Crosse. Brandon, are you with us? And apparently we had to wait too long for him. Tom in Madison, let's give you a chance. Hello.
Hey, Kevin. Griffin here.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Lovely, lovely. Just wanted to ask you, your next edition of this, are you going to throw in any details on our lovely beer festivals?
The beer festivals are actually in the back of this particular book. I've got all the major ones listed there, including, of course, Madison's Great Taste of the Midwest, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. And if people want to go to that, they may be out of luck already because those tickets sell out pretty fast, don't
they? Usually they go on sale May 1st, and they usually sell out on May 1st. So, yeah, you have to stay on top of that. And in the book, actually, I have the festival listed in August, mm-hmm. and but I have a note in May that if you look, that you should watch for your ticket on May 1st.
If you're thinking of an update already, then how well is the Wisconsin Beer Guide selling?
It's selling pretty well, especially around the holidays because of all the free beer offers I have in the back. Nothing like free beer to draw someone's attention, I guess.
That's right. Tom, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Phil in Golden Lake. Hi, Phil.
Yeah, hi. A great show. And I have to hark back just briefly to the Goose Island Rambler era to say that no recording ever could compare to how great those guys were in person.
That's true.
But the brewing tie-in is, of course, lots of beer was consumed at Glen and Ann's and Johnny's Packer Inn while they were playing. But back in the late 60s, I got interested in the small breweries because my dad and grandfather had worked in one in Mineral Point before that closed down. And I kind of grew up thinking every small town in America had a brewery. And was kind of shocked in the late 60s to find all these small breweries going out of business. And I remember taking a bicycle trip to Baraboo with a friend and going into this bar that was next to what was the old Effinger Brewery. And we asked the guy how come the Effinger Brewery had closed down. And they were one of the last ones that were still using wooden cooperage, too. Wow. And he just pointed at us and he said it was you guys, you know. My generation, the baby boomers who grew up with TV, you know, I knew I was a Pabst drinker before I ever had a beer, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm just lucky to have lived enough long enough to see this incredible revival. But I wanted to mention, he hasn't mentioned this one brew pub up in Chilton, and I can't remember the name of it, but they had what I think was the best name for a stout I ever heard. The name was Total Eclipse.
That's Roland's Calumet Brewing Company. They have have their own brew fest as well, and it's another great fest to look out for. I think that's in May actually. But he wants it's Patrick now. Bob Roland was the original brewer. His son Patrick took over after Bob passed away a couple years ago, and he tells stories about how people would come in and ask for, you know, Miller Lite or Budweiser, and he would just say, well, then you can go down the street, you know, because they don't serve it there at all. It's only their own beer. So,
all right, Phil, thank you very much for the call and for the suggestion. We appreciate hearing from you. Earlier this week, I went to a holiday party at Gray's Tide House in Verona, which is tied in with Gray's Brewing Company in Janesville. Talk about that family and their success in brewing.
Well, they've been around a long, long time, and they survived through, you know, Prohibition making sodas, and that actually became the mainstay of their business for a very long time. And but now his beer is becoming quite popular, and you know, they opened up the brew pub in Verona, so you've got food now to go with great beer. Mm-hmm. I particularly like his oatmeal stout. I'm a big stout fan.
Yeah, you're a big recommender of oatmeal stout. So,
and that's really good stuff.
And it's also considered the brewmaster's favorite as well. So that gets a pretty good recommendation.
And one of the things, and I do mention it as stumbling distance to one of the local brew pubs in Madison, is a great place to go and have a microbrew is the Union down on campus in Madison. Sit by the lake, and they've really got quite a wide variety of, you know, microbrews on tap.
Let's go to Brian in Menominee Falls next. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Pretty good.
Great.
I'm actually in Menominee, Wisconsin, not Menominee Falls, but I just wanted to comment. I've been to the Viking Brewery, an excellent establishment, and they have some great brews. And I feel very fortunate that I live in Menominee because we have close access to the Lining Pool Brewery in Chippewa Falls. which been making a great beer for over 135 years here. And we also have a small brew pub in Menominee itself called the Beer House.
Das Beer House, yeah.
Yes, Das Beer House. And it's an excellent place to go. A lot of my friends and I always hang out there. A couple of us work there. And I didn't know if you had included that one in the book or not, and I just wanted to make sure that it got some airtime.
Well, I tried to be forward-thinking when I was putting this down on paper, and he wasn't open at that time when I was when the book was being published, but he's in there. I gathered the information, what he would be serving and what his place was going to end up looking like. So it looks as though, this just came out yesterday. But yeah, it's in there, and he's interesting. Robert Wilbur is actually German, and he did his apprenticeship at the Würzburger Hofbräu in Bavaria. So, I mean, you can't get more authentic than that, I guess.
No, you can't. And he's got some excellent recipes going there. I want to say usually they have about 6 beers on tap all the time that are brewed there, and when they happen to run out, they usually go to the Viking Brewery to get some beer to put on tap. So I just wanted to comment on that. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Brian. Thank you very much. We appreciate your call. And we have lines open. If you have a comment or question about breweries in Wisconsin, the number in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, we're toll-free at 800-642-1234. Let's go to one of Wisconsin's beer-drinking towns, and that's Paul in La Crosse. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you today?
Very good, sir.
You're making me sad. I'm 77 years old, and due to some medications I take, my beer-drinking days are long gone.
Oh, no, not even near beer?
Well, yeah, I do. unfortunately, it's an out-of-state product that I favor the most there. But La Crosse, of course, has a rich history in brewing. At one time, they had, I believe it was 7 breweries operating here. And the John Gunn Brewing Company at La Crosse at one time was considered the largest in the nation. And they passed on, and of course, in later years, Heilemann's, during
huge.
The early 60s, rose to be the 5th biggest brewer in the country. And I worked for my father for a brief time up in a liquor store just across the catered to Minnesota trade, but don't tell anybody.
No.
And, of course, the Fountain City Brewing Company, I can remember them, and I wonder how many of your listeners ever purchased picnics, if you fellas know what they are.
Picnics?
Was that a six-pack?
Those are the big 1-gallon and half-gallon bottles of beer.
They were
called picnics. They were not pasteurized. You had to keep them refrigerated.
Well, most of the brew pubs actually are still selling their beer that way. They call them growlers. It's a half-gallon glass jug that you can take in and get filled every time you stop in at your local brew pub. And it's actually much cheaper that way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But, by the way, and can you tell me, in the liquor store, our biggest selling beer, which we used to get a truckload of, about once a month, was from Madison. And I cannot remember the name of the brewer down there, right? Not too far off the square.
Fauerbach.
Fauerbach. Thank you very much. That joined Huber from Monroe, Badger
right.
Brew, Effinger's from Baraboo, Rhinelander, Oshkosh Brewing Company, Knapp-Steins from New London, Stevens Point, and Leinenkugel products, of course, were a regular in our neighborhood.
Esser's Best out in Cross Plains?
Pardon?
Esser's Best?
No, never had that.
Well, that's one that's resurrected, and that's being offered continually now.
Yeah, it's out there.
Thanks very much, Paul. We appreciate hearing from you. And Anita is next in Duluth. Hello, Anita.
Hello. I don't know if you have this in your book, but my favorite microbrew is Thirsty Pagan Brewery in Superior, Wisconsin.
I have it, and it's fantastic beer.
It is.
It's fantastic. It's in the book as Twin Ports because, they recently changed that name like last summer or the beginning of last summer.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, Rick Sowers, the brewer over there, and he's it's just great stuff.
And they do wonderful brewer dinners. Seasonal dinners. They did one that was focused on chocolate around Mother's Day, and so the beer all has some kind of a chocolate. I don't know exactly how they do it, but it's it is paired with different foods that have chocolate in them, or some of the beers actually had chocolate, somehow, some kind of a chocolate flavor in them.
Yeah, some of the stouts, the roasting of the malt gives it a sort of a dark chocolate character.
Okay. And they have wonderful pizza.
Yeah, they do. I just had one of their pizzas last summer, actually. I was up there visiting with them, so...
Oh, good. Thank you for having this show.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So that's the Twin Ports Brewing on Broadway in Superior.
Now the Thirsty Pagan, however.
Now the Thirsty Pagan. So it would be thethirstypagan.com probably for the website if you were looking for more on that. But, of course, it's all in the book, so you wouldn't have to. If you just had the book, you'd know exactly where to go. Dale in Milwaukee, let's give you a chance. Hello.
Hi, Esther.
Yes. Go ahead.
Hey. A few years ago, my wife and daughter and I toured through the United Kingdom, generally England and Wales, with some friends of ours from over there, and we used as our guide something called the Good Beer Guide, which included a lot of pubs that were paired with inns, so you could stay overnight and drink the beer as late as you like. And I just wondered if any of the places in your book also have accommodations.
Not all of them. There are a few throughout, but that's something I think I have to look at for the second edition. I did mention a few of them that have, you know, lodging nearby, but, it's not one of the regular things of the listing. That's a good idea, actually, so.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. In England, one of our friends from over there made a point of pointing out to the barman that if you were a guest in the inn, you were allowed to drink after they closed the pub to the public.
Right.
He used to say loudly, if necessary, a right unexercised is a right soon lost. I'll have a drink, please.
Well, that's nice. A little French benefit to staying there.
Yeah.
Dale, thank you so much. We're talking today with Kevin Revelinsky of Madison, the author of The Wisconsin Beer Guide, a travel companion. It's published by Tynan's Independent Media. You can get more at themadtravelleronline.com. Let's go next to Pat in Land O'Lakes. Hi, Pat. What can we do for you?
Hi. Have you ever written about the South Shore Brewery in Ashland, Wisconsin?
Oh, sure. It's in there. Yeah, definitely. That's one of my favorites because my family's from the Ashland area, actually. And so I'm up there quite a bit, and that's, you know, where I have to stop to get my beer.
They have an awesome restaurant with it.
Yeah.
And I understand they're opening up over in Florence now.
That they are opening up in Florence?
Yeah, or they're doing something over there with the beer to sell it over there too.
Okay, I know they also brew down in Hayward.
Oh, I see.
At the old Hayward Eatery, which is another fine restaurant that has their beer. So.
Well, we like it that you can take growlers out with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have awesome root beer too.
Yeah, that's something that's noted in the book. A lot of the places make their own root beer or some other sodas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is nice because then you don't just have to be a beer drinker to visit these places, and you can have a designated driver.
Oh, and the kids love it because they can make their own growler out of root beer.
True.
Exactly, and it's fun for the kids to see processes anyways, to go in there and see how beer's made, and then, at least they have something to sample.
Pat, thank you so much for the call. The Beer Companion dimensions look to be about a 5x6 or something like that.
About 5
certainly something
seven,
that'll fit into a glove box.
That was the idea, yep.
Back to the phones we go, and to Isaac. And Isaac is in Eau Claire. Hi, Isaac.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Very good.
Great.
Hi, I was just wondering, I haven't read your book, but I'm wondering if you've noticed any trends of using, all local, hops or the ingredients in the beer actually being locally made and grown in Wisconsin or nearby states, or if there's been any trends of, say, like sustainability and organics and that sort of thing, because I know that's getting popular now.
Well, yeah, I think that, one of the, I guess, the most prominent examples is Island Wheat. Island Wheat over at Capital, they're getting their wheat from Washington Island up in Durham County there. And there is a trend towards that. I think in general food, there's a trend towards trying to keep local and go to your farmer's market and get a locally grown product. And I think that's helping the microbrew industry. There is talk of reviving the hops crops here in Wisconsin.
Because otherwise they have to go out of state, correct?
Yeah, and there was a hops blight I think it was the late 19th century, I want to say.
It was.
And it moved the hops further and further west. So really that's where most of it's coming from, or from overseas, if it's not American hops.
Mm-hmm.
So they're hoping to bring that back here in Wisconsin, and I think that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Do you know of any others besides island wheat? I know that I've heard of that before. I haven't gotten to sample it. But do you know of any others besides island wheat that are sort of focusing on that local aspect?
Well, you get New Glarus with its Belgian ale, where they're using cherries from Door County.
That's true. Yeah, and there are a lot of other, you know, like some of the specialty ales, especially you know, if you've got pumpkin ales. Mm-hmm. And so those things are easy to acquire locally, or apple flavored stuff. I do know that there's a small batch of American Pale Ale up in Wisconsin Dells at Dells Brewing Company that uses local hops, but there's just not a lot of it, so they can't make a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Isaac, thanks very much. We appreciate hearing from you, and we go to Osceola next to Al. And hi, Al.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Couple things. The White Winter Winery up near Ashland, I think it's Port Wing, does a bracket now. Does that classify as a beer?
I classify it as one. It's kind of the cross between mead and ale. And,
right.
And okay. He gets help with South Shore, actually, over in Ashland to produce that.
Yeah.
So.
It's a real rich flavor, and I enjoy it a lot. The other brewery is Sand Creek down in Black River Falls that I enjoy stopping to. But my family accuses me of going to the brewery rather than going visit my mother, who lives just down the street from there.
No, I'm sure that's not what's happening, right?
Of course not, but that's what they accuse me of. But enjoy their Badger Porter very much from Black River Falls there.
Yeah, and they've got a good Kulsh summer beer.
Mm-hmm.
Groovy Brew, that's one of the,
yep.
That's a popular one.
Yeah. Another unusual thing is that they do some custom brews for different pubs around, you know, that you can special order a recipe, and they'll brew it up and put your label on it for a specialty beer.
That's true, and a few of the bigger breweries do a lot of that contracting,
yeah.
You know, contract brewing. And there's actually a new beer in Wisconsin that doesn't have its own brewing facility yet, because they're still in the planning stages of it, but he's already producing the beer, and it's called Furthermore Beer, and they're brewing it at Sand Creek. The brewer actually goes up there and uses their equipment.
Okay.
And that's some pretty fascinating stuff, very different, like an IPA with black pepper in it. So
I haven't run across that one yet, so I'll have to stop in.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate hearing from you. As we talk with Kevin Revelinsky, the author of the Wisconsin Beer Guide, I was looking in the Milwaukee area there. You've got the Milwaukee Ale House and the Milwaukee Brewing Company, and owned by the same people, brewed by the same people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, the Milwaukee Brewing Company is just in the process of getting permission to brew. So I've got them in they were still in the building stages when I was writing the book, but I put them in there knowing that sooner or later those doors will be open.
So,
one's a brewery, one's a brew pub.
Do they brew the same beer then for both, or separately for each?
They have some common beers, but there's some that are specifically at the brew pub. But, this is all in the future at this point. I think they're still...
And you indicate one of the sidebars that Milwaukee is home to Holler House, the nation's oldest sanctioned bowling alley.
Oh, yeah.
On Lincoln Avenue, built in 1908, still operating, and I suppose still tapping beer inside.
Well, the three B's of Milwaukee, right? Beer, brats, and bowling. So.
All right, Bill and Madison, let's get you into this conversation. Go ahead.
Yeah, I tuned in late, so you may have answered this already or whatever, but I'm just wondering if your guest knows what's happening with the brewery that's being built in Potosi. And then I've got one other quick question that he might be able to help me with. I seem to be allergic to most beers. The only thing I can drink are porters and stouts. Otherwise, I get a headache while I'm drinking the beer. And I'm wondering if there's something special done with those two two beers that might lead me to what I'm allergic to.
Boy, that's interesting, and I'm, you know, not a medical professional, but I often give medical opinions anyway, especially when I'm drinking beer. Maybe it's just the darker roast. Maybe there's something that happens in the roasting process. That was a pretty lame opinion, huh? Don't you know, take that as medical advice.
Okay.
And what was your other question?
Oh, about Potosi.
Yeah, Potosi.
Well, Potosi is actually, well, they used to have their brewery down there, and they were chosen as the site for the upcoming Breweriana Museum, which is a museum dedicated to all the old beer products, mm-hmm. The platters, the signs, the glasses, and whatnot. And the plan is to revive put a microbrewery in there to produce beer within the museum itself. So I'm really not up to date on where
that's
that
about
is today,
where but, we know of yeah. In terms of the planning stage. Thanks a lot, Bill. Appreciate hearing from you. And thanks very much, Kevin, for coming in today.
No problem.
Kevin Revelinsky of Madison is the author of the Wisconsin Beer Guide, a travel companion. It's published by Tynan's Independent Media. And what's that website again for people to go check you out?
TheMadTravelerOnline.com.
And if you'd like a CD of the program, it's available through the radio store at 1-800-747-7444. Ask for program 1220G. I'm Jim Packard. Our thanks, of course, to Martinez White for on-air phone production. Coming up tomorrow at 11 on Garden Talk, University of Minnesota horticulturalist Associate Professor Jeff Gilman has a book called The Truth About Garden Remedies. We'll find out what is the truth and what isn't, what works and what doesn't. Tomorrow on Garden Talk, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.